Our next person is, as if, you know, I thought that I was going to be in the spotlight, but this guy has to outdo me again. And as much as I hate to, but I like the guy. He's something else, especially when he's asleep. He's wonderful. But nevertheless, I'm going to turn the microphone to our ACB president, our guest speaker for the night, Mr. Mitch Pomerantz.
Thank you, Louis. And for the folks on the right side of the room who have been so rowdy tonight, you might miss something. You know, when we realized that Kirk Adams, who's now left, was going to be here at the convention, I was absolutely, you know, pleased to give up my time Friday night. I told Donna that I could either, you know, I could combine my two presentations, and I can do it in one of two ways. I can either talk at double speed, but more likely I can just speak for an hour. Doesn't that just excite the heck out of you? Now, you've heard me speak a bunch of times, and you know I don't tend to tell a lot of stories, but Louis has inspired me tonight to tell probably, and it's a true story, it's probably my favorite personal anecdote of all time. How many of you here remember, and he's still with us, a wonderful science fiction author by the name of Harlan Ellison? Well, Harlan and I have had a couple of experiences together, and I'm going to tell them to you. Back in the early to mid-70s, I used to work at KPFK here in Los Angeles, or up in Los Angeles. Forgot where I was. And we would do, every Christmas, a reading of a major classic. And what we would do is we would bring in people from the community, celebrities, people who were well-known. That's how I got to meet Cal Worthington. And he wears that bloody hat inside. But we were doing a reading of the Dostoevsky novel, The Idiot. And one of the readers we'd lined up was Harlan. Now, Harlan had a number of friends at the station, including the fellow who got me to working at KPFK, a chap by the name of Mike Odell. Harlan is scheduled to go into the studio at 10 o'clock to read. And we can't find him. I'm, by the way, the assistant producer for this undertaking. We can't find Harlan. And I'm running up and down the halls of the radio station, and it's now 1 minute to 10. And I'm getting desperate. And as I'm trotting down the hall at significantly higher volume than now, I shout, "Where's Harlan?" And from 5 feet in front of me, Mr. Ellison says, "I'm right here." That's part one of the story. Now move ahead a month. If you know who Harlan Ellison is, you may remember a place out in Westwood called the Change of Hobbit Bookstore. I have gone out there because Harlan is doing a reading and a book signing. And I am in the front row, and Harlan concludes his reading. And for those who have heard Harlan, you know that he's a smartass. No, I think I took after him. At the end of Harlan's reading, he quits and he says, "Hey, you, the audience, wearing the dark glasses, what you wearing the shades for?" Well, I've been wearing shades forever and always. So I said, "Harlan, I'm blind and I wear shades." And he stops and he says, "No, I know why you wear them. Let's talk to the guy behind you." I have fond memories of my encounters with Harlan, one of my favorite authors of all time. One of the streaming conventions is wonderful. There is a disadvantage, however, at least for folks like myself. The disadvantage is that for those people who are dedicated enough to actually listen to the conventions, the speakers get repetitive. And about a month ago, I was in Springfield, Illinois, at the Illinois Council Convention. So I apologize in advance to those of you out there in Etherland listening to this, because you're probably going to hear some of what you heard me say a month ago, but you'll get over it. I realize that that I've graduated to veteran status in this organization, because this convention marks my 40th year in the California Council of the Blind. So it's not an exaggeration to say I've seen it all and done most of it. And I say that because I will term out as ACB president next July, and unlike a lot of our leaders who kind of hang on and hang on and hang on, I am going to take a conscious step back, and I am going to be a little less active nationally, and perhaps a little less active on the state level, but some of that also has to do with what the CCB president asks me to do. But on the national scene, I'm going to be like the citizen politicians back in colonial days who went to Congress and did their time and went back to the family farm. I don't have a farm to go back to, but I'm probably going to take it a little easy. Let me talk for a few minutes about what's going on nationally. Recall that in July, we had the administrator from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The reason that we got the gentleman to come, or we asked him, was that we were fully expecting that NHTSA was going to release the minimum sound standards for hybrid vehicles that was mandated in the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, which was passed in 2011. In fact, The release of that document was supposed to occur the week of the convention. It did not. And the fine gentleman from NHTSA spent about 20 minutes saying essentially nada. Time passes. We hear rumors that these standards were going to come out at the end of September. They did not. We have gotten the word that while they actually have left the environs of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they ended up at the Office of Management and Budget. And even top officials at NHTSA are clueless as to when it's going to get out of some bureaucrat's inbox. So we wait. In the meantime, the folks at Ford and General Motors and Nissan and all of the other major automotive manufacturers here in the United States are working on their own standards. I was involved in some testing a year and a half ago in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I was just contacted by the head of the project for General Motors, who has invited me and the NFB representative to sit in on a teleconference in short order to listen to a report and some findings of theirs. So we will have sound on hybrid vehicles, but I'm not quite sure when that is going to happen. But as soon as we hear, everybody else will hear. The Video Accessibility Act that you also heard talked about this summer, of course, resulted in some guidelines that came out, and we had several representatives on that working group, including Mr. Herrera. And I'd like to say that we got everything we want, but that would make me a liar. And we are now waiting for the notice of proposed rulemaking to come out, and there may be actually three of them, separate ones, that will give us the opportunity to weigh in once again to make sure that there is not just appropriate audio description, but verbal notice of the emergency warnings that get scrolled across your television screen, because these people may not believe it, but blind folks do watch television. And, of course, give us the opportunity to have what blind folks in England, we learned this summer, now have access to, accessible set-top boxes with their television sets. You will also recall that our prescription drug labeling bill was passed and signed, and that did occur during the week of the ACB conference and convention. And there is to be a working group established of, using my old personnel experience, subject matter experts. That's folks who theoretically know what we're talking about, to develop best practices for pharmacies and drug manufacturers and such to utilize to make sure that blind and visually impaired folks know exactly what prescription is what and what information sighted folks have that we have the same access to. A lady that some of you may know by the name of Sue Crawford, she's Charlie Crawford's wife, has been assigned from the Department of Justice to the Access Board, and Sue will be heading up this working group. She will be staff. And I am pleased to say that I will be representing ACB on that working group. And CCLVI, our Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, will also have a representative on that working group. We will have accessible prescription drug information, and it may happen a lot faster than we have sound on hybrid cars. Another initiative that we've talked about actually the last two summers is our little issue with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The fact that CMS will pay for prosthetics for people with disabilities, physical disabilities. They'll pay for wheelchairs. They'll pay for a whole host of things to permit folks with physical disabilities to remain independent. They won't pay for anything as small as a monocular for a blind or low vision person to use to remain independent. We're going to change that. It is going to take time, but we have draft legislation, and we will be introducing it the next session of Congress, early in 2013. We believe that we are being discriminated against, and we don't take real well to that sort of treatment. So we are beginning, or we'll be beginning the process in January of getting CMS to change their ways. On Wednesday, Donna and I are off to Bangkok, Thailand, to attend the 8th quadrennial meeting of the World Blind Union, of which ACB is a member. There are approximately 160 or 170 countries that are members of the World Blind Union. And we will, WBU will meet from the 10th through really the 18th of November. The meeting is being held jointly with an entity called the International Council for the Education of the Visually Impaired, ASEVI. And it's the first time that the two organizations have had a joint conference. The WBU meeting is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. ASEVI begins Thursday and Friday. There will be workshops and a banquet Friday evening, and in ASEVI we'll have a couple of plenary sessions over the weekend, although we're not staying for those. We're heading back home on that Saturday. I am honored to have been asked to make two presentations at that conference. One will be on Sunday, a week from tomorrow, at the Diversity Forum, and then a second presentation as part of a group during one of the SEVI presentations on Thursday. And as far as I know, it is the first time that anyone from ACB has been asked to make a presentation. The international playing field has for many, many years been dominated by the Federation. I have made a very conscious effort during my time as ACB president to get the folks across the ocean to our east to understand that there are two organizations of blind and visually impaired persons in the USA. And I think they are beginning to realize that. The outgoing president, Marianne Diamond, who actually is from west of us, she's from Australia, and the presumptive next WBU president, Arndt Holt. Hopefully a few of you who were at the convention got a chance to meet Arndt. He was at our national convention. He's from Norway. And I think that the international folks are beginning to recognize that ACB is a player. And I'm also pleased to say that we will again be streaming the entire WBU conference, beginning with the Diversity Forum next Saturday. And Larry Turnbull, if you're listening, I hope you're catching up on your sleep. Larry will be there. And the other member of our, I'm calling it our stream team, will be Brian Charlson. Kim Charlson will be our second delegate. ACB gets two. And in a moment of weakness a couple of months ago, Donna's laughing. In a moment of weakness, Carl Augusto has been the president of the North American Caribbean region, because we're divided up by regions. Carl has been president, and the vice president was a wonderful lady from CNIB named Kathy Moore, who tragically passed away a couple of months back from breast cancer. But it was time. Every 4 years, the officers change. There's a president and a vice president and two members, executive members. And those four individuals, along with the same folks from the other six regions, like it is, serve on the WBU Executive Committee. So in a moment of weakness, I told Carl that I would run for vice president of the region because the president will be a Canadian. We rotate. An interesting chap, an author, a published author by the name of Harold Mossop, M-O-S-S-O-P. He's on the CNIB board, the Canadian National Institute of the Blind. So it looks like I've wangled myself onto the WBU Executive Committee for the next 4 years. I may really live to regret that, but I told Donna at least it's a chance to take a vacation somewhere. When I said to Carl Augusto, that'll be great as long as it isn't in the Middle East, Carl said, you know, it may be time for a meeting in the Middle East. And I said, let's see if there's a Middle East in 2 years. Stay tuned. And of course, Melanie Brunson is our representative with the group that's trying to negotiate an international treaty to allow the freer exchange of materials across borders, international borders, for blind and visually impaired persons through the auspices of WIPO, which is the World Intellectual Property Organization. No, I won't. but you can. It's a painfully slow process negotiating international treaties, but apparently significant progress is made. 2 years ago when this first got started, the representative from the Obama administration, who is a professor and a copyright lawyer, was pretty much dead set against a treaty. He wanted a less binding document. He was concerned on behalf of the publishing industry in the U.S. that there might be serious ramifications if, in fact, we signed an international treaty. The gentleman has kind of come around. So it appears as if we are going to have a treaty or something that looks much like a treaty by this time next year. Next summer, the last convention that I will preside over, we will be in Columbus, Ohio, beginning July 5th and going through the 12th. And the thing that's going to be interesting is that we are moving the convention forward by a day. Our opening session will be Saturday, and our banquet will be Thursday evening. It is creating some interesting logistical challenges, to say the least. But it does appear as if it will work. I have already tendered an invitation to the president of ONCE, Miguel Caballera, because next year will be ONCE's 75th anniversary. And for those who don't know what ONCE is other than 12, 11. Yeah, well, see, I don't know what the word ONCE means. It's a baker's 11. But ONCE is the Organización Nacional Ciegos de España. That's the blind organization in Spain. And Donna and I, when we were in Madrid in April, spent a great deal of time with the ONCE folks. You opened that bottle of wine, did you?
No, I was just telling them that ONCE, the way you described it, it sounds like blind man in Spanish.
I'm a gringo. Get over it. But we have invited Miguel, and we also I have this real crazy fantasy. You recall the blind Chinese dissident who escaped from China or was exiled. We know how to contact him. I have had Charlie Hodge make some preliminary contacts. And Donna and I will be going to New York in December, and we are going to make an attempt to meet with him. And if that does happen, and I think it will, I'm going to invite him to our convention next summer. So we're going to go out in style, I think, and we'll see how things develop. But that's at least my plan for the conference and convention next summer. Before I close, I want to make a couple of comments, since CCB is my affiliate and where my loyalties have been for the last 40 years. I'm I've been reading over the last year a series of books by a gentleman named Harry Turtledove, who is the world's foremost author of alternate histories. And this particular series, and I'm on the sixth book, The South Won the Civil War. And we are now up to World War II, and the U.S. and the Confederate States are fighting their fourth war, including the Civil War. And I bring it up because it reminds me every time I pick the book up how, when left to our own devices, human beings become very tribal. We are more comfortable with our own kind, whether it be folks of the same ethnicity, the same religion, from the same neighborhood, whatever. And how dangerous that is and can be. When I was first cutting my eye teeth in this organization, the leaders used to rant about localitis. What is localitis? It's the organization's version of the kind of tribalism that I'm talking about. The American Council of the Blind and its 70-plus state special interest affiliates are indeed separate organizations. But we are all one when it comes to sharing the characteristic, the disability of blindness. And I abhor the notion of localitis. I hear, since the CCB president and I share a home office, I hear a lot of her trials and travails in that capacity. And it troubles me to hear that there appears to be a bit of localitis in this affiliate. My chapter is unique. My chapter, we can only concentrate on our problems. We can only make donations to our causes. We can't participate in state activities. Folks, that is a recipe for our destruction and our demise, and it has got to stop. I really do understand that it is human nature to want to deal with your own and deal with your own community and deal with your own problems. Well, you can fiddle and watch Rome burn if you wish. You know, I see it nationally. You know, I have affiliates that basically care more about their own issues and really don't think they need the American Council of the Blind. And I have said much the same things to them when given the opportunity as I'm saying here. My problems in California with transportation or with in-home support services or with discrimination are not unique. Blind people in every other state of the union are experiencing the same problems. One of our founding fathers, and I'm terrible at remembering who said it, might have been Benjamin Franklin, though, said, "We must all hang together or we will surely hang separately." And as we head into Election Day on Tuesday, I tell you that we are quickly approaching the time when every blind man and woman in this room and in our organization runs the risk of hanging separately if we don't change our ways. We can do it, by the way. We can reunite. We can stop thinking about our own problems in our own communities and pitch in and help the CCB president and the CCB director of governmental affairs and the other leaders who, by the way, represent all parts of this state in solving our problems. We don't really have a choice, folks. You know, the economy has turned around some, but things here in California are looking pretty grim. And there are a couple of propositions on the ballot Tuesday that if they don't pass, and you know which ones they are, mean even less services and less support for people with disabilities than we already have. Let your consciences be your guide. Let me conclude by once again expressing something that I've said for a long time. And all you people there in ACB Radio Land, close your ears for a minute. I go to a lot of conventions. I really do. I still think the CCB convention is the best. I am proud to be a member of this organization. I am proud that you have again chosen to elect my wonderful wife as president. And remember, none of us want to hang separately, so we all need to hang together. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, Mitch. Awesome speech. Excellent. And folks,